2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back to Cougar Sports Saturday. It's been an emotionally charged first hour here with the college football rankings. BYU at 14. I got to ask you, Mitch, does this, in your opinion, does this mean that BYU has to add another game?
Man, that's a good question. I think that they need to. Absolutely, yeah, they do. But I just don't think they'll be able to. Because I think that, as we've seen in college football, all of these teams, whether you're Group of Five or Power Five, you're going to do things that serve your best interest. I think that, honestly, BYU wants to do things just to put out great product and put out games because they want to play college football. They want to play this sport as much as they can. But I think a lot of other programs are like, well, we don't have the finances. So I don't think there's going to be an opportunity to add a game. I think they're going to try. BYU is. But I just don't think there's going to be a game added. What would you say?
I think there's going to be an opportunity in the Pac-12. And I think if we learned anything from this Washington fiasco, if anything opens up, you have to take it, even if it's going to get canceled on you. Because I think that you would buy incredible goodwill throughout the college football committee and the national pundits if you were to take a game. Because I'm looking at USC and Washington State. Both of those teams have had COVID-19 issues where they've had games canceled. If one of those teams can't go and there's an opening, you just have to sign on the dotted line and not be worried about what's going to happen. And if it gets canceled, so be it, because I think you'll benefit from it. And I think the Pac-12 is probably their best bet. It's incredibly frustrating, the protocols that the Pac-12 put out, because they're ridiculous. But it is what it is at this point. And I think if you could go back, I know this sounds crazy, if you could go back and accept that game against Washington knowingly that Utah and Washington was going to happen, I think BYU is, what, 10th? If you accept that game and that narrative is gone and then it gets ripped out from under, you probably benefit from that. You might have even moved up where it's the Pac-12 is dumb, this is stupid, BYU should have played that game. I think that wherever it is, and there's a couple other interesting scenarios we could toss around if conferences were to make exceptions. Ole Miss, that might be an opportunity. If the SEC were to make an exception, which I don't think they would. Why would they? But I think whatever it is, you just have to jump in, whether it's little preparation or whatever it is, jump in, and maybe you hope that you accept that game and it doesn't happen anyways, because it would buy you the goodwill that maybe you need being at 14 right now. I hate that, but it's like maybe you have to play that game.
I think so. I think that with the Washington deal last week, it was kind of a situation where you knew where it was headed. Like, there was, before all the chatter, like, everyone knew that it was all signals pointed to Utah and Washington. And people, he's like, this is pretty cut and dry. Like, why would we sign up for this? Whereas in another scenario with maybe USC or Washington State, whatever it may be, maybe it just makes – maybe there's it makes a lot more sense. Then you publicly come out and say, yeah, we'll make the game happen. We're willing to do this thing or whatever. But with the Washington dynamic, it was clearly, like, it was cut and dry. Like, you knew Utah and Washington was full steam ahead. That's where it was heading. And even Washington's head coach said that they quote, gambled and decided to prepare for Utah, not knowing who they were going to play, but yet they kind of had an inkling that they were going to play the Utes, and it worked out to their favor. So all signs pointed that BYU knew where it was headed. They knew that was going to happen, and it was like, why are we going to, you know, invest in travel, have guys come home, and, you know, it's just like,
and that's the important point, too, where I think there was some hesitancy is, I think Thanksgiving plans were made by coaches and players, and then to say, cancel all those, we're going to play a game, and then to have that ripped away, and so it's like a double whammy, no football, and all those plans you made months ago when we had a bye are gone, I think that was tough to stomach.
Yeah, and again, knowing that it was going to be Utah and Washington, and Utah and Washington are going to play tonight up in Seattle, so it's like you knew that's what was going to be the ultimate decision here, and it looked like a move, an agenda to potentially, bring down the momentum, the full steam ahead that was kind of the BYU hype train a little bit going into the first playoff rankings, and maybe better positioning the Pac-12 conference to be in a spot to get two at-large teams, or, you know, one automatic, obviously, and then another at-large team. But that might not be possible because their two Pac-12 teams were not highly ranked, and Oregon lost last night to Oregon State. So not good situation for the Pac-12 conference right now. But, yeah, I mean, I would love to see BYU add another game, whether it be the 5th or the 19th, add a game. And I think that they're willing to make it happen. I just think that is the other party willing to make it work and just have the game take place. But BYU's maybe got to be willing to say, you know what, on 48 hours notice, we're playing the game. Let's just do it, and lay it all on the line.
And I think BYU also has to do something I don't think they're comfortable doing, which is playing the political game, which is maybe you got a leak that games are being denied. And when SDSU comes to town, guess what? You don't pull the starters, period. It doesn't matter what the score is. If it's 80-10, you keep Zach Wilson in and you roll those guys to send a message. You can't play nice anymore because you're not getting the benefit of the doubt from the college football playoffs. So I don't think BYU would do that, but what's there to lose by saying, hey, we're trying to play USC, but they won't do it. It's like, if that's what we're going to do in 2020, point the finger and make rational judgments based off a tweet, then maybe you got to put out a tweet and get some judgments in your favor.
I feel bad for San Diego State. I mean, and I rarely say that sentence, I feel bad for San Diego State, but they are going to walk into a buzzsaw in Provo December 12th. If that's the next game BYU plays, that was already a revenge game to begin with because BYU was terrible against the Aztecs last year.
Yeah.
There was already some angst towards, you know, getting revenge against the Aztecs, but my goodness, that BYU team will be as motivated of a squad as we've ever seen probably from Kalani Sitake coach teams. I can't wait to see that game. Hopefully there's one sooner between now and then, but I feel bad for Brady Hoke squad because if that's the next time BYU takes the field, that is going to be a ticked off group that's going to want to make a statement to the nation that what you did putting them at 14 was it was wrong in every sense, and they're going to take it out on the Aztecs.
Yeah, Tuesday is going to be interesting, the next iteration of the rankings. There's been a couple teams in front of them. Iowa State, I'm curious to see what happens with them. Do they get a benefit of the doubt for beating a mediocre Texas team at the very end, or do they slide down? So there's still a lot of movement to be had, but BYU, I think, has to change the narrative a little bit, and hopefully they get that opportunity. One thing that is for certain, I think there will be opportunities because a lot of games are getting canceled in all conferences because of COVID-19, so maybe there's an opportunity. Hopefully BYU's ready to jump on it.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, and we'll definitely be talking about it if in fact, that does happen on KSLSports.com. Got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to David Nixon, talk about this BYU team, but then also Taysom Hill, who had his first career start at quarterback last weekend for the Saints. This is Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.